Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for March 14th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. Enjoying this brisk weather we're having.
Not me. You know, I don't like this. You know, it was warm. It got warm on us, and then, boom, hit us with another cold spat. And I don't like it. Get rid of it. It was snowing in parts of Tokyo this morning. I don't like it at all. Get rid of it.
Well, the enjoying was sort of a figure of speech.
Yes, I know.
Oh, okay.
You're enjoying it as much as I am, I know.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, we will be enjoying a great JBW this week. We have Jason Koskri, who's going to join us later. He's from the Japan Times, and we're going to have Baseball Hapones site guru Claudio Rodriguez as we discuss the predictions for the Pacific League. But first, we're going to talk about the Giants gambling scandal and MPB rookies. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
So on Tuesday night, I got this message from you. I guess it was evening, early evening, mid-evening, whatever you want
to call it. Yeah, it was about a little after 7. I was on my way to Otemachi from my office in Shimbashi.
Right, and you're telling me about a presser that's going to be going on at the Yomiuri building, and neither one of us knew why. And then you hit me with the news that it was going to be about, or it was about gambling, and I was stunned. And I'm like, well, what? Then, you know, they're going to continue from, they've discovered something from last year's scandal with the Giants and the three players who were banned. And then you told me it was another guy, Kyosuke Takagi, had come clean saying that he lied before, but decided to tell the team that he had, in fact, taken part in gambling on NPB games in 2014. Mm-hmm. And it was fall last year when the trio of Satoshi Fukuda, Shoki Kasahara, and Ryurya Matsumoto were all slapped with indefinite bans. That was November for their gambling activities. And he just hid in the weeds, I guess, and stayed. And I guess they're going to find out sometime, so he might as well come clean.
They got some tall grass up there at Kawasaki, I reckon.
So I recall you talking about gambling and its prevalence in the league, and I said I hoped it wasn't true and that we didn't have this thing going on. I had rose-colored glasses. I don't want to believe what's going on. I just hope that everybody is doing the right thing and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out I think that's a little bit of a Pollyanna situation on my part. I don't think that's the case at all. In fact, NPB, the sports minister I saw today, even wants to vet this whole thing out and wants to probe every team and make sure that no one is involved. So this has already stained the game from last year. I don't know where it goes. I'm really concerned.
Well, you should be, because I think it's going to continue to go. And I think it's going to continue to go because there's so much, I guess, casual betting in Japan. And you know, when the Giants had gambling except in licensed, regulated fashions in Japan.
Right, which we discussed on the show last year.
Correct. Is illegal. So unregistered, unlicensed gambling is illegal. So in the course of the Giants investigation, they asked people if they ever gambled. They asked people if they knew anybody who was a habitual gambler, any members of what they call antisocial types, which means organized crime figures.
Right. Bad elements.
Bad elements, indeed. Rotten apples, baby. So, and what it turned out was that, well, first of all, they had to interrupt the 10,000 yen a hand poker game in Kawasaki in order to hold the investigation, because that's fairly much a feature of the life on the Giants farm team, are these basically $100 a hand poker games. Yeah. And the other thing they found was that a lot of the players play mahjong for money. And this is kind of a long time thing in Japanese baseball. And a lot of the guys used to play golf for money. Sadaharu Oh said so in his autobiography. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much the norm. Now, how far this goes, betting on baseball, it's going to go farther. And the reason I think it's going to go farther, I mentioned on my blog, is that originally they found Fukuda and Matsumoto. And then it turned out Kasahara had introduced them to this gambler. And so, okay, so that makes sense. These guys were, you know, hooked up with, by a teammate. But, you know, who hooked up Kasahara? Well, that turned out to be Takagi.
Okay.
So now, you know, the next question is who hooked up to Takagi? This, you know, this thing is just going to go on and on. There's going to be somebody. Eventually, of course, it'll get to somebody who's retired. From Takagi's description, now, I didn't attend the second press conference. I didn't attend Takagi's press conference.
The second press conference that came on Wednesday.
That's correct. But his statement to the Giants, he said, he described the activities or some of the connections he had with this person named Bison in the report. And Bison didn't sound like somebody he actually liked very much.
Yeah, Mr. B.
That's right, Mr. B. And it turns out, you know, so if he, you know, he started gambling through this Mr. B who he doesn't even like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that ain't how he got started. You know, he was walking down the street one day and, you know, I feel like betting on baseball, though I know it's against the rules. Let me find some guy I don't like and start putting money in his hands. You know?
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't. And, so this is going to go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, this is really unfortunate. And I just hope the commissioner, Katsuhiko Kumazaki, takes care of it. I think he's the right guy to do it. You said he was a former prosecutor.
He's
kind of a big shot guy. I don't think he's going to stand for this kind of stuff under his watch. Mm. Happening once was bad enough. Happening twice caused some very, very big wigs to step down in the Yomiuri group, and that included Tsuneo Watanabe, who's been ruling with an iron fist, so to speak, for quite a long time, and been a doorstop for the Central League in some ways because he doesn't let them. It seems like he's the driving force that stops the door from opening to new ideas. And I talked to one of the reporters, one of the Yomiuri reporters who covered the Giants last year. She was sitting in the lobby all day long waiting for these press conferences on both Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
And we talked about Tsuneo Watanabe. And I threw the question out there on the homepage and asked people how they thought about what they thought about it. And we got one response from Kozo Ota, but basically she didn't think that anything was going to change because he really hadn't been doing much in recent years anyway. But he steps down as, what do we want to call him? I saw a story with Kyodo, so I'm assuming that was you that called him the supreme advisor. I use chief executive advisor.
Okay.
Whatever he is, he's the grand poobah.
Yeah, that sounds as good. Generalissimo or something. Yeah.
Right, and he stepped down, and then the team chairman stepped down, and the team owner stepped down. Mm-hmm. And so we've got these three heads that have rolled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they brought in some new people, fresh blood. Anyway, I don't like with this whole thing. You know, they tried to make sure that there was no match fixing, and they tried to check and make sure that there was nothing else illegal going on. And I don't know how far they have to dig to find these things, but, you know, lack of institutional control is why these guys are walking away, basically. I don't know. I'm very saddened by this whole thing. And we've had some instances where the leadership in Japan or Nippon Professional Baseball could be questioned. That was 2013. We had a rogue leader in NPB changed the balls or a change in the balls without telling anybody, basically. And then we had balls stored in China in a factory somewhere that was too dry, and that changed the texture of them or the way they carried. So we've had these issues here and there that really put black eyes and stains on the whole league, and I just don't like it.
Well, you're not supposed to like it. I don't think anybody likes it. I think with the balls, you know, it's interesting that was also, although a lot of effort has been made to deflect, you know, basically let's blame the commissioner. He's leaving anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's all his fault. Let's sweep that under the rug. Okay. And the guy who engineered that, because the teams, you know, we've talked about this before, so I don't need to go into it, but the teams wanted a new ball and the commissioner stood in their way. So they just went around him. And although the commissioner said that Tsuneo Watanabe was supportive of him, I believe it was Watanabe who pulled the rug out from under his feet, because the guy who did it was a former Yomiuri guy. So who is now in charge? Who's now the Secretary General?
Yeah, never ever got anything but a small slap on the wrist, as right? I recall. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And his boss, who went along with it, got fired. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so moving along. Yeah, now we have the gambling, and the gambling is a problem. And I believe there is gambling going on, and I believe there are players who are influencing outcomes in games,
mm-hmm.
because of gambling,
yeah.
because they're getting paid to it. Now, are they fixing matches? No.
Not throwing games, but throwing situations or throwing
yeah.
parts of, yeah. Of games. Yeah.
They call in cricket spot fixing. And, you know, and as you mentioned about things, problems with NPB and generally, all the problems that have happened at a very low level basically get pushed away, like when the Cebu Lions, you know, had the nerve or the
gumption, the temerity.
That's the word I was searching for. Had the, as you said, to look into how their team had dealt with amateur baseball players, whether they had paid them off or anything they had done that was unethical or illegal. Well, NPB, everybody in NPB went, just shut up, just shut up, just shut up. It never happened. It never happened. Now we're going to punish you for all the bad things you did and for bringing the game in disrepute. But let's get it over with quickly before people start asking what we did.
Yeah.
And it seems, you know, all the things they denied have more or less come out and come out and come out. But nobody ever goes back to that. Nobody ever, you know, questions these team officials, you know, after they said, oh, yeah, it happened. You know, it shouldn't have been public, but it happened. Oh, forget that we said it never happened 5 years ago.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm thinking particularly the case of the Giants paying these large over the guideline signing bonuses, which they never denied.
Mm-hmm.
When a former Giants executive published them or had them, allowed them to be published, I suppose, in the Asahi Shimbun. And the Giants tried to sue him for defamation of character. They never denied that these things happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They said they weren't illegal, therefore it's none of your business.
Right.
But 10 years ago, they said they never did it.
Right.
So, you know, that's the way it works in Japan. Let's just, you know, let's forget about it. So I believe there is gambling, and I also believe there is going to be a strong inertia, a strong, you know, while everybody wants to get the thing done, nobody wants to cause any commotion. So it's, there are counter purposes here. And so I don't think any effective measures are going to be taken. I don't think a thorough investigation is going to happen because it's going to bring up too many things that are not really unethical. A really, really thorough investigation, the kind the Lions tried to do and were essentially punished for clearing the air. They were punished in the draft, and they also paid a fine for investigating wrongdoing.
Okay.
So, essentially, no, there's not going to be any serious investigation, but these things will continue, you know, these things will all continue to surface after everything has already been cleared up and investigated.
I'm sure that's the way it happens a lot of times. Well, I just think every time something like this happens in NPB, the international eyes that are on this league and this sport here, it's not a good look, and those eyes start to squint a little bit and turn sideways, and it's just
wow.
It's not good. It's not a healthy look for the league, and I hope we can get to the bottom of as far as the bottom that they will let us get to, and then get rid of as much as we can and move on with the sport. And I want to talk about baseball, not this garbage.
As for Tsuneo Watanabe, he already, you know, he was the Giants owner until 2004, I believe August 2004, when he essentially initiated a players' strike. And he quit not because of that, but because he was in charge of one of the teams that was paying money to college pitcher Yasuhiro Ichiba.
Right.
Right. So he stepped down, and then 8 months later, as owner. Basically, he was the then took over as the supreme advisor or the head honcho or whatever it was. He didn't really have a position in NPB anyway, but he's still calling the shots. He's still telling the commissioner what to do. So do I think this is going to matter that he's lost his title as supreme advisor, which has zero weight in NPB? No, he's just going to keep until he's dead.
Yeah.
Until he's dead and somebody former very high up in NPB hierarchy at one point said, you know, when Watanabe dies, NPB is going to take off.
Yeah. All right. Well, enough about him. He's he's a thumb twiddler.
Wow.
Supreme.
You could get fired for saying that, I think.
Supreme advisor. Sounds like he's twiddling thumbs. Let's make a one-seam transition. You know, the Tomoyuki Sugano one-seam transition to the top rookies. Who to watch for in terms of the new players who have come on the scene or been drafted this past year. And last year, we both agreed that Tomoya Mori of the Seibu Lions was the guy to watch and would be impactful. And he was for probably a good half of the season. And then I think fatigue and some other factors kicked in for him. Who is it for you this year?
I like Shota Imanaga. This is not really a surprising pick. He's been very good in the preseason.
Yeah, the left-handed rookie for the Yokohama Bay Stars. Yeah,
yep.
He hasn't given up a run yet in 12 innings, I believe. 12 preseason innings or 12 camp innings, yeah.
Yeah, well, there was another two innings the other day, but they don't count because the game was called when I was there, and he looked pretty sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say I've been anything bad about anybody. I know the Giants guy is pretty impressive.
Toshiki Sakurai.
I was thinking of
Shinosuke.
The guy with two first names.
Shigenobu, yes.
Shigenobu.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, he has been pretty impressive. I think he won himself a first team spot at least, and probably a starting job on opening day, which would be pretty cool for him. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he can fly. I think Shigenobu could be the most exciting rookie since Takashi Ogino came up with the Marines and just lit a fire under the game. What an exciting player. And then in May he hurt his knee, and basically he's lost most of his speed. He was amazingly fast. You know, he was Japan's answer to Billy Hamilton, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah.
You know, a guy would hit if he hit a ground ball to second that wasn't really hard, it was a very good chance of getting an infield hit.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to eat some words that I uttered earlier this year or maybe late last year when I said I didn't think Louis Okoye of the Rakuten Eagles was going to be on the first team. But the more I see of him, the more I like. Now, I know that some major league teams were really interested in him. Mm. He did play in the under 18 World Championship or the World Cup or whatever it was. And, you know, if he's on the opening day roster and he's going to hit about 200 or so, even if he's playing 5 or 6 days a week or 4 or 5 days a week and comes in as a late inning defensive replacement or a base runner or something like that, I think the kid has just as much talent as any of the other guys they have on that team. They might as well put him on the first team, first of all. And the speed he has. Did you see the play he made on Thursday?
No, but he's electric.
Yeah, he made a play on Thursday. And there was one, a sliding catch where he went to right center to make a catch. But before that, he made a play. He made a play going to the left field. Mm-hmm. And he's running, you know, to fill the gap in left, and all of a sudden he sees the left fielder and he peels off and the ball falls in for a double. Now, I think that was the most impressive play because if you look at the replay, mm-hmm. he's in left field where the left fielder should have gotten the ball with no problem.
Mm.
And he's over there so quickly that they're both surprised and they both stop, and that's why the ball fell. And I think as a manager, you see him make that kind of play. And you're like, hey, you know what, son? That's fine. We will tell the left fielder to play closer to the line and get out of your way.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I've noticed about him is that in the very limited number of highlights I've watched him bat is how well he's adjusted.
Yes.
At the plate.
Yes.
To what people are trying to do. He seems to be very smart in terms of making quick adjustments. So I don't think there's an adjustment he hasn't made yet. Now, obviously, he's going to come along and, you know, in some things that he's just not capable of doing, he needs to work on. But I get the feeling he's not going to be overmatched at the plate. You know, he's going to have some tough times, and that'll be the test. But I think he's good enough that he's not going to be overwhelmed, and that, yeah, if he can hold that level, then yeah, stick him in the lineup. You know, let him hit against really good pitchers at a really young age, and that's how you get superstars.
Yeah. If he can draw a few walks here and there and be a threat on the bases and play that kind of defense, yeah, he's going to make an impact for you, even if he hits 200 or 230. Some other guys, Shun Takayama of the Hanshin Tigers, and I saw somewhere where first-year manager Tomoaki Kanemoto said that he couldn't believe how good the guy was. Mm-hmm. And that's one player. And then another player is Shinsaburo Tawada of the Lions. He's gotten good reports out of camp in this spring, and he looks good. He looks like he's going to be able to contribute to that team. So those are some guys to keep an eye on for me. And of course, Imanaga. I heard Alex Ramirez give him a really good review early on in spring, and I also heard one of the TV announcers say that he expects him to win double digits if he can get some wins early. So that's high praise. And also, I heard Kazuyoshi Tatsunami say that Taiga Hirasawa of the Chiba Lotte Marines has nothing to adjust to at the plate.
Yep.
His issues are all going to be defensive. He said he's a left-handed hitting batter just like Tatsunami. Tatsunami said that I didn't really have to show him anything. He had it all. Which is really, really high praise from a future.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful swing. I mean, you don't see guys that young swing that well. It's like he was, I don't know, abducted by aliens and taught how to hit baseballs.
All right, making a seamless transition right over to the prediction show. Yay! It's the Pacific League prediction show. Thank you very much to Jason Koskry of the Japan Times for joining us. It's nice to talk to you again, bud.
Thanks for having me again.
And Claudio Rodriguez in Toronto, the baseball Japones guru. What's happening, man?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you very much again for coming on the show this year. The thing I love about Claudio is in May or even late April, if his predictions are in the order that he predicted, he's not afraid to let you know.
Well, hey, just to do some self-promotion here, I nailed the Marines last year. Just to let you know, everybody was saying they're gonna finish fifth or sixth. They finished third, just as I predicted.
You got that one team, huh?
Well, no, I got three, actually. But, you know, the Marines was the most surprising one, let's say.
I think you did the best out of all of us. So anyway, so I want you guys to know right off the bat, I'm using algorithms, sabermetrics, analytics. I got a Ouija board, a dart board. I decided to go with uniform color, luck, biblical influence, and intuition. Do I have it all covered?
Pretty much, I would say.
I think you got to go back to the drawing board and pick one. I ain't going to tell you how I picked mine.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with Algo Sabermetrorhythm.
Hashtag high heat.
All right, so first up, and like I said, I feel, for me, I think this year, I feel like the comments the coaches and some of the players made in the preseason about the obstruction rule, I think that's really influenced how I'm going to choose in the end the teams that are going to make the playoffs. So that's how I did it. I think it's going to be really close this year. But anyway, gentlemen, start your engines. Jason, you are first up, buddy, with the Hawks.
All right, leading off with the Hawks. Well, obviously the defending Japan Series champions, the key newcomers for the Hawks this year, they're bringing back a familiar face in Tsuyoshi Wada, who was a pitcher for them back in the Daiei days, and then again, and he left to go to the major leagues, did all right with the Cubs, and now he's back. The key departures for them are Lee Deho, who went to sign a minor league contract with the Mariners, and they also lost Jason Standard, who was in the rotation last year, and he's with the Chiba Lotte Marines now. And speaking of the rotation, it looks like they've announced Setsu is going to be their opening day guy, but their rotation is probably going to be Setsu, Rick Vandenhurk, Shota Takeda, Wada, Kodai Senga looks like he's going to be in there. Yep. And you've also got, take your pick from Kenichi Nakata, Hayato Terahara, Kenji Otanari, and the other arms that they got that they can throw at you.
There's a Daisuke out there.
Daisuke Matsuzaka, who's going to be spot starting probably for them, who if he's healthy enough, but we'll see about that. So
I couldn't help but notice that you left off Nobuhiro Matsuda from your newcomers, because I think with him coming back, you could throw him in there.
Back before he left.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Strengths, everything.
You think?
They don't sugarcoat it, man.
They really do just about everything well. They score runs. They prevent runs. They had a great run differential last year. That was probably a bit of an aberration. But even if they come down from a 160 run differential positive, it's still going to be pretty high. They won an amazing 46-24-1 on the road. I mean, nothing slowed this team down last year. Maybe they'll come down a little bit, but they have great hitting. They've got great. They've got pretty good defense. They've got great pitching. They do everything well. And weaknesses, they could all get sick or something.
Hey, man, influenza's been going around.
You know, one thing the Hawks don't do that, they're not the fastest team, or maybe they just don't run as much. But that's when you're hitting the way they hit, it's not something that they're going to need to do. Another potential hiccup for them might be, though, you've already got a hole in the lineup with Ima Mia and then whoever's going to catch. But we've also got to see how Barbaro Canizares is going to do, if he is the one who's going to replace Lee Dejo, because he did really well in Mexico. He had 320 home run years there before he came here, but he hasn't had a lot of opportunity here. And now he's going to be playing every day, probably, and teams are going to be able to see him and adjust to him. So if he doesn't produce, they don't really have a whole lot of, like, just big bats behind him. Yuki Yoshimura is a guy who could come in, but he hasn't hit for power in a couple of years now. So that's a potential hiccup for them in their lineup if he doesn't produce.
Okay. All right. And so your prediction?
First.
Oh, that's a surprise. Jim?
I'm shocked. I think, trying to find a hole in the Hawks is, you know, it's like trying to find flight MA370.
Oh, no. I got a piece over here, I think.
It's kind of that way. I mean, how do you name the starting rotation? Generally, the thing about the Hawks the last 2 years is they've used essentially a 10-man rotation. You know, four guys who are really good. And then when somebody needs a rest, they go, you know, you can go to Guam or something. Just take it easy for a couple of weeks. We'll be fine without you.
Yeah, it's called Ed All. Okay.
So as for speed, they have plenty of speed on the farm team. And the thing about the Hawks is they're going to grind people up and spit them out. Now, they're going to have close games, and they're going to lose close games. But – you know, they've got Dennis Sarfate, is probably who may be the best pitcher in the Pacific League. He was probably the best pitcher in the Pacific League last year. And you know me and relievers, I don't say that very often.
You're changing, man. You're changing.
I am not.
I don't even know your name anymore.
It's not Slim Shady, but that's another one. No, it's not that. It's just that the starters were not all that overpowering last year, and he was tremendous. So there's nothing, I think, as for holes that the Hawks have, I guess Uchikawa is getting on in age and he's still in left field. So that's about the biggest thing I can think of. Mind you, they could probably, again, I still think the Hawks farm team could finish fourth or fifth in the Central League.
Hashtag. Hi.
So
yeah, Uchikawa's playing first this year.
Oh, is he? Okay, so there you go.
All right, so that's all you got, Jim. So you got to give us a first place.
Yeah, first place.
All right, first place. Okay, Claudio.
Well, I would add. I pretty much agree with everything that has been said. I would add the addition of this young pitcher from Venezuela, Robert Suarez. I have seen him in a couple of games in the preseason. He has been throwing hard, has been showing, like, looking really good on the mound. So I would be another, if they needed anybody else, but they would have an extra arm in the bullpen that could help. And then I'm also interested in see how Canizares is going to respond if they give him the chance. I mean, since the moment he got to Japan, all my fans were telling me, you know, this guy is amazing. He's a really good hitter. He's going to show, you know, really good numbers there. But he hasn't got the chance to do anything. So if they give him the chance to play every day this year, then I'm interested in see how well he can respond. Because, you know, it looks like he has the potential. So it's interesting to see. But again, I will also pick them first. They are probably the best team in – well, not probably the best team in Japan, for sure.
Okay. I'm going to get my prediction out of the way quickly. I picked them first, too, so it's a clean sweep. I want to say the loss of Lee is a big deal, but they added Wada. I want to say the motivation for Matsuda is down because guys who – we've seen that it's been a tendency for guys who didn't go to the States or were in limbo. I think the last example was Hiroyuki Nakajima, who just kind of walked through that season that he was in limbo and before trying to go over to the States. He was in a malaise. I think that could have – that could be something that might influence Matsuda's bat this year. But other than that, they've got talent at every position all over the field. They pitch well. You know, even if there's somebody goes down with an injury, they're so deep. They're one of the two teams in Japan that have two levels to their farm system. So they have a third team. So the depth and the talent and the two levels of the farm team just make them – it makes it hard to get on the field for the first team. And that's probably why – Canizares hasn't been able to get on the field very much because there's some Japanese players out there who really will fight for a spot. And, you know, I think they have a system. They play with a system. They have something in mind. They have an approach for each batter and each kind of batter that they have in the lineup. And I think you have to find that you have to try to fit in. So if he's going to be the power hitter, I think he's going to have to produce as a power hitter, and if you don't, then you don't get a shot. But anyway, I've got him first. The weaknesses, I really don't see that many except for maybe catcher, and some of the outfield speed could be a little bit questionable depending on the lineup. But they won 90 games last year. I think they're going to fall short of that figure, and they won't be clinching on September 17th or anything like that again. But yeah, I don't see anybody who's going to get past them. All right, fighters, Jim.
Well, I think the Fighters, if anybody has a chance, it is the Fighters. For the Fighters, the key newcomers are Anthony Bass and Chris Martin. Anthony Bass is a starter. He hasn't shown a lot yet in spring, which is I'm good with that so far. Chris Martin is expected to be essentially a replacement to a guy who did left, Michael Crotta. They needed a really tall guy, I guess. So they went out and got one. And fighter scout Matt Winters told me that he and his colleagues were being congratulated by all the major leaguers saying what good picks they got over the winter, especially Chris Martin. I had an interesting story about Chris Martin. I'll keep it very brief. He told me, he's told a few other people this, that basically one of the reasons he came to Japan was Masahiro Tanaka. Now, they were teammates with the Yankees last year, and I said, well, did you have any chats with him? And did you talk with him much? And he said, yes, he told me a lot about Japan, and he was the one who convinced me it would be a good idea because it's so safe and they take good care of you and it's good baseball here. So,
all right, so instead of being like Mike, he wants to be like Masa. I gotcha. All right.
Okay. Wow, that's like foreshadowing.
That was an 80s flashback moment. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. Okay, so – the key departures, other than the aforesaid Michael Crotta, I don't really see anybody having an impact. Michael is a great guy, but he didn't really have an impact with them. He was a useful player from time to time. I think Chris Martin will more to make up for that.
Okay.
What I do see, I'm going to go straight to the starting rotation.
Okay.
Which is going to be, you know, if they could have the starting rotation be Shohei Ohtani 5 days a week, it would be.
I'd go for that.
And he's trying to build up to where he can handle the load because he's.
You only have 110 starts in the season. Right. That's not bad.
It's going to be Shohei Ohtani and then Anthony Bass and Luis Mendoza and probably Kohei Arihara. Now, I know that's only four. Because I really don't see anybody worth mentioning after that. You never know about Yoshikawa. He might be healthy or he might be a toad. That's an awful reference. He may be, I don't know, what, a newt or something. But you just don't know about Yoshikawa. As we saw last year, he was good part of the season, and then he was back to being Yoshikawa.
Yeah.
So it's not a great rotation, but it's okay. And what the Fighters have is they have an offense. They got a really good offense. They've got even the guys who don't hit, like Nakashima, he's not bad. No, he's not bad. And then they've got just offense all over the place. They've got too many catchers. And I think Ono can catch as well, although they don't need him to catch. And the other thing is I would want to add that Ohtani's having a great spring, and I've already talked about Ohtani too much this year. So I should just shut up about him and let you guys go. Other things, as far as weaknesses, I don't really see any. You always like the Fighters' bullpen. And here's the other thing is that Masato Yoshii is back after he quit because he could never work with Hideki Kuriyama again.
The manager, yeah.
Yes. Well, so he's back
as pitching coach.
He's back as pitching coach. After doing a really, really good job with SoftBank last year. So I like that. I don't see a real weakness other than, they're not as, I guess their weakness is that they don't have SoftBank starting pitching.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you have them finishing?
Second.
Okay. Jason?
I pretty much agree. A lot of the things that Jim said, two guys that I would look at for them are Naoyuki Iwasawa and Hiroshi Urano, because those are two guys who are going to have to pitch, and what they're going to be able to do, I think, is going to be a big turning point for them. I think if those two guys have good years, then that's going to really get the Fighters closer to the Hawks. And if those two guys have bad years, they're going to be kind of fighting against themselves a little bit, and especially in the pitching rotation. But they do have a good offense. Daikon Yo was a guy who was hobbled a little bit last year, and if he's healthy, he's gonna, I'm not saying he's gonna, but he has a good chance of getting back to being the kind of player that we know that he can be, and that's just gonna be more of a boost for this team. So, like Jim, I like their bullpen a lot. I like their pitchers. I like Ohtani, obviously. Mendoza's really good. We have to see what Bass is gonna be like. I think that Yoshikawa is going to have, I think he can be a decent pitcher. We don't know if he's not going to be the MVP like he was that one aberration year, but he can be all right. But I think for me, I'm more interested in seeing what Uwasawa and Urano do. I think Arihara showed a lot last year towards the end of the season. I don't think he was the rookie of the year. I would have given that to his teammate Hakumura, but I do think he showed enough. And if he can take continuing his maturation, he's going to be a great asset for them. So I also got them finishing second.
Okay. Claudio?
I don't have anything, not much to add. I do believe it's a strong team, well-balanced, not quite at the level where SoftBank is, but I have them finishing second as well. I do like the Fighters, a great team.
All right. Well, maybe I'll be the one to step in and say, hey, I like the offense. I like Sho Nakata. He's put some weight on. He wants to improve. He wants to hit even more. He's on a really good career trajectory. He's always getting better with his power and his batting. His numbers, his production, not necessarily his batting average. I like the speed. And like I said, I'm going to look at the guys up the middle, the catchers, the shortstops, the second baseman and the center field, all the guys in the outfield, because I think these plays at the plate that are going to take place with the runners being sent a lot more this year, it means that you're going to be tested in all those areas and relay plays, and they're going to make people throw them out, and they're going to make sure the catchers stand out of the way. And I think the Fighters actually have a really good defense in that respect, and that's what will help them get closer to the win total that they're going to need to actually contend for the Pacific League title. But I'm still not impressed. I don't think they have a great bullpen. I think if there's a weakness, it is in the bullpen. And I think another weakness would be in the rotation. And obviously, you can piece things together at the back of the rotation if you have the good solid four, which I think they do have. And I think the other kids, Uwasawa pitched well his rookie season, as did Urano. And I think among those two and Masaru Nakamura, who's still out there floating around in the ethers, he could actually, spot start for them or get enough starts to contribute, and I think he'll do that, and I think they'll finish second place. Okay, Marines, Claudio.
Well, for the Marines, I would say the key additions would be Jamaico Navarro and Jason Stanridge. And I would even add Alfredo Despaine, too, because, you know, compared to the past two seasons, he's here already. He's going to be able to play the full season and he's going to be rested and without interruptions. He won't have to leave to play some sort of a international tournament or anything.
Yes,
so I would count it as an addition to the team because he's going to be here the full season and rested.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that part-time job thing. So I like this. And I love having Claudio on the show so he can correctly pronounce all the Latin players' names.
No, no worries.
I'm going to tape those and save them so that every time I have to say it, I'll just play the tape here.
So you don't have to go...
I can say Jamaico Navarro, but I don't sound as good as Claudio doing it. Okay, keep going, man.
No worries. Okay, so for the key losses, I would, you know, for the really key loss, I would say Luis Cruz because he was a really good defensive player in, you know, second base. He was good offensively as well, but I think that the main loss for them is going to be in defense because he was really good in second. I would, you know, name Carlos Rosa, but, you know, Carlos Rosa had, you know, didn't have the best of years. He was really good with them in the bullpen like for 2 or 3 years, but, you know, lately he hadn't been that good, so they let him go. Same with Chad Hoffman, which I think didn't have that many didn't see that many action during the season. For their rotation, they have, I'm assuming they're gonna have Hideaki Wakui, Ayumu Ishikawa, and Yuta Almine at the first, you know, the beginning of the rotation. And for the rest, they have a few options. I mean, they're not maybe great options, but they have some people that could, if they're healthy, they could do, they could really help the team. They have Jason Stanridge. They have Takuya Furuya, which I think is healthy now. He was injured last year.
Yeah,
Yuki Karakawa is usually one of the members of the rotation, but I think he was injured last year as well. Then they have the South Korean Dae-un Ri and the Taiwanese Kwon Yu Chen. You know, they have a few options to select the back part of the rotation. It's not the greatest rotation, but I think they have guys who can do a decent job there. The strength, from my point of view, would be the offense. I think they're going to have a better offense this year. Like I put it, talking about the analytics and the Sabermetrics from John, my equation for this one would be Navarro plus Despaine equals more than Despaine plus Cruz. You know, like it's like Cruz was like a good offensive player, but I think Navarro has a better power, more is capable of doing more things offensively. So that duo Navarro Despaine, I think, even though Navarro is going to be suspended for the first month of the season, but I think he can still bring some good numbers for the team. And you know, they also have Seiya Inoue, who you know hasn't had that much of a chance to play, but he has been playing good on the during the preseason. And you know, if they keep him on the first team, he may help as well.
Gotcha.
So I think they can do. They're gonna do good offensively this year. My weakness would be the pitching, and the only reason I say that, I already said, you know, they have guys who can do a decent job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna bring another equation here. The pitching, from my point of view, is going to go down because of Wakui. I see Wakui of 2015 equals Daisuke Yamai of 2014. It's like a one-off season. Like, Wakui was, you know, led the Pacific League in wins last year. Really? Like, Wakui? Like, I can't, you know, I couldn't believe that. And then he has the best, the eighth best ERA. So if, you know, from my point of view, if Yamai, after the 2014 season, went back to being the awful pitcher that he has been the past few years, not at the beginning of his career, I'm talking about the past few years, then Waku is going to do the same thing. It was awesome last year. I don't think it's going to be that good this year.
All right, Jason. Oh, wait, so you got him finishing where?
No, I got him finishing fourth, just one place below where they were last year.
Fourth, okay.
Yes.
Jason?
Oh, I like everything Claudio said, actually. Navarro, I got a chance to see him hit BP today, and he looked really impressive, but we're not going to get to see him hit for a while in a real game.
He was hitting bullets all over the place, I bet.
Yeah, but they were blanks. Because they got to keep it, you know, too many scandals, man.
Yeah, a ton of home runs in Korea last year, but we'll see how that translates here, but I do think they will be a little bit better offensively. I don't know if they're going to be better offensively in enough places, though. You've got Despaigne, who's going to probably be pretty good. Hopefully for them, at least, that Kyoto's year last year was more of him coming into his own rather than him having one big spike. And if so, then he's going to be a decent offensive player. And Kakunaka gets a lot of hits, but they're still a pretty light hitting team in my estimation. If Wakui does go back to being an awful pitcher, Claudio thinks he is, then I think Ishikawa's poised to make a step up. I think Standage is more of he's more stability at this point in his career. Omine, if he can just string together a good season, he's going to be a guy that's going to help them. But I don't really like the Marines as far as run prevention. They were kind of average last year, and I think they're going to be kind of average this year. And in the Pacific League, you've got to bring it pitching-wise, and I think they're going to finish fifth.
Okay. I like the addition of Jason Standridge. I think that's going to be an upgrade for the rotation. I'm not sold on Wakui either as the ace. And then I just think they have too many DHs. You can't have that many guys who are going to slow you down on the bases. And again, because I think speed is going to play an important role this season, I don't think you can have guys like Kakunaka and Inoue and Despaigne out there. Although Despaigne moves well for a big man, I just don't think he's fast. And those things could cost you if you have a lot of speed bumps or a lot of big trucks out there on the bases. You're not going to be able to score with the other teams unless you hit the ball over the fence, which they can. And I want to make note of the fact that Taiga Hirasawa, the rookie that they drafted last year, is probably going to make the first team despite his issues. And he will add something somewhere, and hopefully for him it's at second base, but he's got to learn the defensive position. And if he can't, that's an important position. It's going to cost him. So I don't think they're going to do very well in that respect. And I don't like their pitching. You guys talked about a top three, but that back end of the rotation is pretty. If you got a mirror and that's your face, I don't think you want to look in the mirror very often. So I'm going to pick them to finish last.
That hurts. Well, I have them third. I don't disagree with anything, and I think it's less a case of the Marines being weak as being the bottom of the league being weaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of Wakui. I haven't been a fan of Wakui. I wasn't planning even after last year to be a fan of Wakui. He did have a remarkable year for somebody who's pitched so much. And I have to agree with Claudio that I just don't expect to see anything like that out of him this year. On the other hand, I think they're going to pick up some other pieces. Furuya, and I love Furuya, he's a great guy, but I don't see him Daisuke Yamai, let's get him. Furuya, no thanks. But yeah, I love Nishino. I do like Ishikawa. I think he can take a step forward. They're gonna drop a little bit in the pitching. They're gonna drop a whole bunch in the defense because, as John mentioned, they've got a team of DHs. They've got a shortstop who isn't really a shortstop. Mm-hmm. I don't see that helping the team. But again, I do like Ito as a manager. He's good at holding things together, and I have him finishing third.
Okay, the Cebu Lions, their key newcomers, Andy Van Hecken, CC Lee, and Shinsaburo Tawada. Those are the key guys. Key losses, believe it or not, Ryota Wakia. And then about five other guys who basically either retired or just became Cebu employees. So that meant they were useless last year. the rotation, I think they're going to have a really solid rotation. Takayuki Kishi, Yusei Kikuchi, Kona Takahashi is probably going to be in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Ken Togami, who led the team with 24 starts last year, he's going to be up there. Although he's got this delivery that just looks like his elbow or his shoulder is going to break off at any moment. Kazuhisa Makita probably going to be in the rotation. And then maybe a couple other guys, including the 402-pitch Ryoma Nogami. You know, they drafted 8 pitchers, and that tells me that they don't think they have good pitching in the system. And so I'm looking at their organizational DNA. We had that question recently about where their direction is going. And I told Jason a long time ago, I think organizations win championships as much as players, if not a little bit more than players do. So their rotation is good. I think the strengths we can look at, they're going to be able to hit with power. They did it, you know, last year. They did it the year before. And then another strength is Shogo Akiyama, enough said. Did you see that? Anybody see the heat maps for that guy? It was all red except the, you know, right down the middle low.
The zone, yeah.
Yeah, down the middle low. So, I mean, you can't throw the ball anywhere to the guy. So that's a strength because he's going to be on base a lot. And the fact that they're leading him off is, again, probably is going to be a good, is going to help them score some runs. They have some poor defense at some positions. They have questionable arms in the outfield. And they're going to be sluggish on the bases. And with all the strikeouts that they have, I don't think they're going to be able to overcome that with a adequate or solid pitching staff. I think you have to have a really good pitching staff to overcome those things. Kishi's good. Yusei, never really been high on him. He's all right. Van Hecken, who knows what he's going to do. He looked good at times in the preseason, but I think he's going to give up a lot of contact. And if they're not going to field the ball, They're not gonna help him out. So, and this is not gonna be all the time, but probably in general, they're basically the same guys who struck out a lot last year. So they have a bunch of DHs as well. Hotaka Yamakawa is another guy who's probably a DH, who should be maybe a DH if he can hit. Oh yeah, he's the second coming of Okawari.
They've got about three Okawaris on that. Okada's left-handed Okawari.
So I don't like their defense. I don't like their speed, and I don't like their arms. And if it weren't for the Marines, I'd have them finishing last, but I have them finishing fifth. Jim.
Well, I don't disagree.
Okay, next. We can save about a half hour.
Hashtag high heat.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, am I on?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Okay. I don't disagree. I think what they ought to do is take Tomoya Mori and say, look, bring your outfield glove. We can get him, you know, like they've got all these DHs. He can play right field. He'll be okay. Better than that sort of, I don't know what, chain gang, but how did he decide? Ryoto Wakia? You know, it's like, when did he come to the park?
Well, he's gone now. He can't do this year.
I know, but the Tanabe came to the park with a Ouija board and said,
hey,
wait,
that's mine.
I needed to make the lineup. You know, it's like, oh, sorry, I don't want to take your Ouija board, John. But, you know, it's like, it was sort of like he inherited this first base thing from Ihara. When Ihara was his predecessor, he decided that the Lions' first baseman should be a guy who can't hit but's really good defensively. So he had Naoto Watanabe out there. He had Wakia out there. He had Hichori Morimoto playing first base. It's like, come on, it's first base. You know, it's not rocket science. It's first base. And Tanabe's problem seems to be right field. And I thought Mori was good enough that you could leave him out there and just let him hit. And say, okay, the catching, it's going to come. You know, you'll wake up one day and the catching fairy will leave a glove under your pillow or something. But till that day, you're in right field.
Right.
So other than that, I do like is that they hired Hideki Hashigami as a tactical coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, as we spoke the other day, that they're grooming Tetsuya Shiozaki to be the next manager as the bench coach. And I don't think he'll be the manager this year, but I think he's the manager next year.
Okay. Where do you have him finishing?
I have him finishing fourth. But, you know, again, they're very close to being third place. So.
Okay. Jason.
The Lions. I think, like John said, I think if the Lions can hit, like as far as, you know, hit home runs, hit extra bases, they're going to be fine. But in games where the ball, you know, isn't finding holes or isn't getting over the fence, you know, they're not going to be able to manufacture runs because they're slow.
Easy to find holes.
Yeah, I mean, they might have a tough time in that area, but I think their offense is going to be fine. Their pitching staff is a worry a little bit for me. Kishi is solid. I've always liked Kikuchi, and I think he really started to show a little bit more last year. If he can add another pitch to his arsenal, he could really, you know, maybe take another step there.
He has. He's adding a changeup this year.
Ah, He's adding a chain of this year.
Yeah.
So great.
That's like saying McDonald's is putting chocolate on their French fries. They can do it, but who wants it?
Hashtag I hate.
His chocolate cover change up is gonna get hit.
Wow, that was sweet.
And a little salty.
People be going, give me another.
Okay.
Kona Takahashi, he's gonna really get, I think, a kind of a trial by fire this year. He made 8 appearances last year. He didn't pitch a whole lot, but we're gonna see how he handles having an actual workload this year, probably. And that's one of the issues I have with Togame, who I thought had a pretty good year last year, but he's never been able to string 2 good years together, although he's not been around for that long. But he went over 100 innings in 2013 and then didn't pitch that much in 2014. And so we get to see how he's going to do after pitching 152 innings last year. So it depends on how he's going to respond or how he's going to bounce back to that. And Nogami is just Nogami. I don't think he's particularly great. And I don't think they have a really good rotation at the back end. I don't like their bullpen that much. Mm-hmm. I think they may fall in a lot of close games. And I do have them finishing third, but that's has to do with the weakness, in my opinion, of the rest of the Pacific League. I think they would have finished third last year had Tanabe not messed up the end of the season.
Right.
Through corpses and meaningful games and things like that.
Well, maybe you can convince Nishiguchi to unretire.
I bet he could. I bet he would.
I bet they could need him to pitch a few more important games.
Yeah, let me just wipe this popcorn butter off my face here and somebody get me a ball. You got a glove?
One day for this game, we absolutely have to win.
All right, so you got him finishing third. Okay.
Got him finishing third.
All right. And Claudio.
Well, I like John's contradiction there when he says, they have a solid rotation, but I haven't finished in fifth, because that's exactly where I have them as well.
Wait a minute. Fifth. That's a personal attack. I said their defense is bad. Okay. They might have a good rotation, but their defense is bad.
Well, okay. So just to clarify then, I disagree with the good rotation thing.
Okay.
Because, no, I mean, I see them as being exactly the same rotation they had last year. They have really, I mean, I don't know how what the newcomer is going to do. Like this year they had, what was it, Wade LeBlanc, who was supposed to be, you know, one of the main guys and never did anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't see them changing anything. I like their offense. I think there's a good offensive team. They're capable of hitting. But I'm not convinced with the pitching. Like, I mean, it's just the same guys as last year. Last year they didn't do well. I don't know if they're going to improve at all this year. I mean, maybe they all – by chance have a good season altogether. And actually they didn't their start was good last year. They did well for the first 2 months or 3 months, but mm-hmm. then after that they fell down. They weren't able to sustain that. So I'm not expecting them to change much this season. Actually, I'm expecting them to go down to the fifth place.
Okay,
Claudio, they started well because they played an inordinate number of games against Oryx. So I think that was one thing to do with it. And I think, you know, I have to agree with what you say about their pitchers. I mean, it's sort of like a pitcher, their farm team is like a pitcher's graveyard. In fact, has anybody seen Oishi recently?
Hashtag high.
Playing dead.
He might be more than playing, man.
Okay. All right. Next up is the Buffaloes. I think the key newcomers are Eric Cordier, right-handed pitcher or reliever, Brent Morrell, and then Brian Bogusevich. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Probably not, but I'm trying. Key losses. I'm going to put Brian Bullington up there, although he got injured and wasn't able to really finish out that season last year. Mm. Alessandro Maestri, who pitched well for them out of the bullpen the past couple years. Esteban Germán. Close enough, Claudio?
Yes.
And then Keiichi Hirano, those guys are gone. The rotation actually is really looking, it's solid. It's more than solid. I mean, if these guys actually pitch the way or close to their potential, or close to what we think they should, they would have one of the better rotations in the Pacific League. Chihiro Kaneko is the ace, a former Sawamura Award winner, is going to be up at the top. And then the up-and-down Yuki Nishi, and then Takahiro Matsuba, Daiki Tomei, I like to call him Tomei Ningen, Brandon Nick Dixon, and Sachiya Yamasaki, those probably are the guys who are going to be at the top. But these Buffaloes, I think that they're lost in the wilderness. We don't know where they are. They don't know where they are, and we don't know where they're going. And so I think this is still a work in progress. I think the team farm manager, Sō Taguchi, is eventually going to be the manager, maybe as soon as next year. So I think this is a transition slash holding pattern. But the thing about the Buffaloes is that when you don't have any expectations and you don't think that they're that good, they rise up for some reason and come out of nowhere and do well. And I think if they pitch that well, and I think they do have, you know, with Ito behind the plate, Hikaru Ito, and then the guys up the middle are good. I'm not sure about the arm in center. I'm not even actually sure how many guys are going to share that position. I think Yoshio Itoi, I'm not sure how good an outfielder he's going to be, but he's still got a cannon of an arm, so he'll be able to throw guys out or maybe keep them from running. So I think that's good enough, but I think they're going to pull off some kind of miracle this year, and they're going to be the surprise team. They got good strength, like I said, they're good strengths up the middle in the outfield. They might have the best arm in right field in Japan with Itoi. So they're just a lost soul when it comes to organizational DNA, and that's probably their biggest weakness. And they probably lack a little bit of speed. But I'm still going to pick them to pull off a third place surprise, because I don't like when it's the same as every year and they're always a surprise. And we got to have one. So I'm going to go with the Buffaloes. Why not?
Why not,
Jim?
Well, I have to. I would agree with you. The Buffaloes can be a surprise. I have a couple of questions. I have, of course, what's good about the Buffaloes is that Chihiro Kaneko is pitched in February, which was the first time in 5 years. Now, a couple of other things. Hopefully, Masahiro Nishino will be healthy this year, because he was really – this is the guy who would have been the rookie of the year had he been healthy. Nakajima has been playing well in the spring, which is a good sign, because he wasn't playing well in the spring last year. I don't know about Tony Blanco. If he's healthy, he's going to help.
Not worried about Nakajima.
Yeah, well, he's rarely healthy. It's just the norm for him. Yoshio Itoi, yeah, that's a big question. You know, he had a bad knee all last year, and he really couldn't do much. A lot of things, again, say the same thing about the Buffaloes that I say all the time, that I like a lot of the pieces. I like a lot of the individual players. I like a lot of the coaches. I don't know about Fukura as manager. I don't think he particularly wanted to be manager. I don't think he particularly wants to be manager now. I don't think Sō Taguchi wants to be manager either. And I think the biggest problem with Oryx, despite all the good players, and I'll say it again, is that the front office, everybody on the team knows that the leaders of the front office are less interested in winning baseball games than in pushing the other guy out of the front office. Mm-hmm. and that makes it really hard as a player to crash into a wall, or to do, to take that extra effort when your body's killing you to win a game when you know the team couldn't care less.
Yeah.
And is more interested in getting, and there are people in Oryx who are more interested in getting kickbacks than in, reaching the playoffs, unless it leads to personal monetary reward.
Okay.
So I have them finishing fifth, only because of Rock 10 being in the same league.
Okay. All right, Claudio.
I totally agree with John. And it's the same rationale. I'm picking them to finish third because of the surprise factor. I didn't want to repeat the same standings that we had last year. So I think they're the team who had the chance to come up with a surprise. They have good players, and if they can put together a good season, I think they're gonna do good.
Okay, Jason.
Buffalo, they're a team where I just. Whatever algorithms, formula, Ouija boards, darts, whatever you use, you just throw it out because it's the Buffaloes. just absolutely inept in almost everything they do, and as an organization, as Jim, you know, eloquently put it earlier. And I like their pitchers. I like their pitchers. I think last year their relievers had a bad year, but they were kind of ravaged by injuries a little bit. And I think those guys are going to be better this year if, you know, if they're healthy. I think Brian Bogusevich, we'll see how he's going to do. But their offense, they have a lot of holes there, but I don't think it's going to be a horrible offense, but I don't think it's going to be a great offense. But I do think their pitching is going to keep them afloat. And I think they could be the surprise team too, but they're also the Buffaloes. So I picked them to finish fourth.
Okay. Eagles, Jim.
Well, I think the Eagles, I think we can keep it short and sweet. There's newcomers. Okay, well, they have some newcomers that will definitely be interesting, and I think we'll start with Johnny Gomes. Johnny Gomes has a chance to be the next Casey McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Not Willie. Sorry, Willie. And could be a really, really good player in NPB. I just don't know. I mean, he could be the next Casey McGee, or he could be the next Greek god of walks.
Okay. Who walked all the way home, probably.
Exactly. Except he was hurt, and was hurt doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that didn't turn out very well, but he could be a really good player. I like, as far as the other newcomer is Louis Okoye.
Right. Louis.
Louis Okoye.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
With the kanji region, Louis. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm very impressed with him. John and I were talking about him a great deal before the show. And, you know, nothing – how far he goes because of his age and because of his athleticism. And he just seems like a really smart player who can develop into something. By smarts, you know, he has an answer for whatever people – seems to have an answer for whatever people are going to throw at him at the plate. I'm not even going to talk about it as a range because John's seen it, and it's just amazing. Okay, as far as the rest of the Eagles go, let's see, who did they lose? Well, Willie Mo Pena. Enough said. I guess there were a few others they lost who didn't do much.
Right.
So I don't see a big loss there, but I didn't see anything to start with. Mm. I don't really see the big pieces. They have a couple of players I do like, but the rotation?
Mm-hmm.
Goodness me. Norimoto.
Yep.
And wait. Karashima? Wow. Mima. Yeah. Where's Brian Falkenborg when you need him? Maybe he could start.
Kenny Ray might get some more starts.
Kenny Ray might. Yeah, he might go 4-0 in April again. Just imagine that. Kenny Ray goes 4-0 in April. Not that he really deserved to be 4-0, and they still finish last.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't.
Tomohiro Annaku.
Yeah,
maybe.
I haven't seen him this spring, so I really don't have you know, his arm's probably still hanging by a thread, so.
Yeah, you got Kamata, you got Tomura, you got Shiomi. Those guys could get some starts.
They could get some starts, but the question is, will they do anything once they get them? And, you know, and John was quizzing me about Mima. We were talking last night, and he said if he's in the starting rotation, they're in trouble. And I think I agree, and I disagreed with in the case of an individual, because, you know, we don't know what they're seeing in Mima right now as opposed to what we've seen in him in the past. But when you've got a bunch of guys like that, Mima's pretty typical of the Eagles. When you've got a bunch of guys like that, it's hard for them all to have turned the corner and be on, you know, getting a fresh start this year. Now, speaking of fresh starts, they're going to have a new manager in Masataka Nishida, who I'm a big fan of. And he's kind of interesting because this is the third team he's managed. And the first two teams he managed had pretty mediocre offenses when he took them over. And then they won a pennant the second year.
Okay.
One of them was a two-time league champion, the Nippon Ham Fighters. So that's not saying much, but the Kintetsu Buffaloes were really bad when he took them over. Now, the Eagles, I'm not saying that he's going to make them good, but he's done it before. But mind you, he's done poorly the first year. So I don't see him He finished last his first year with the Buffaloes, who were a bad team, and I think he finished third his first year with the Fighters, and they were a two-time champion. I don't see the Eagles going out of sixth place, but I do see them doing much better in 2017.
Okay. Jason?
Yes. Like Jim, I am an unabashed fan of Nashida. I do think the teams that he had, Kintetsu and Nippon Ham, when he won the pennant with them, they somehow turned out really great offenses that scored and scored and scored. But man, he's really going to be turning water into wine if he gets this one.
Hashtag tie.
Jesus, Jason.
at least this year. Right? Gomes could add some stuff, but you know, he could go either way. Like you said, we don't know. Know how he's going to do. We don't know if Imae is going to be healthy enough to do anything.
Yes, Toshiaki Imae was an addition that I had in nine, yeah, from Lotte.
Amador, we don't know. He's a question mark, so...
He's injured. He's got a...
Is he?
Broken bone in his wrist to be out the first 8 weeks. Well, 8 weeks from the other day when he broke it, so yeah, but... But he's a two-time home run and RBI leader from Mexico, so whatever that is...
I think Genji's a good player. I don't think if Hijiri Sawa could get himself back to what he was about the year before they won the Japan Series, I think the year he stole all those bases, but he's just steadily declined, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But so I think they're going to struggle to score runs. I think they're going to struggle to prevent runs because it's Norimoto and then it's people who aren't named Norimoto who are going to give us a bunch of runs until we get back to Norimoto. So I think they're going to have trouble preventing runs. Maybe they can make some improvements, but I don't know if they're going to make enough improvements to. I've got in my rankings, I've got the Marines in fifth place, and I don't think Rockteen will be able to make the improvements to get past Lotte into fifth place. So I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year, but it's going to be a slow burn this year.
Okay, Claudio.
Well, I'd just like to add Jim missed precisely the Jafet Amador, the Mexican guy, as one of the key newcomers. I like his power. He hit a couple of good home runs during the preseason. Too bad that he's injured. He's going to miss the first month of the season. But once he's back, I think he could have a decent season because my key point for him is that because the team needs so badly to improve the offense, he's going to get the chance to play every day. And everybody, at least my followers, all tell me that he's a really good hitter. So he could do well. He could have some decent numbers for his first season. And as a key departure, I would mention as well Reiner Cruz, the Dominican bullpen guy, the middle reliever.
Yeah.
He appeared in 52 games this year. He had a 3.12 ERA or something.
Yeah, and he finished out the season strong for them. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he wasn't that bad, but I don't know why they let him go. Like,
he walked every other batter, but that's beside the point.
But anyways, he had good numbers. Either way, I agree with what you guys said. I have the Eagles finishing last as well.
All right. Well, I agree with most of what you guys said. This is a team that was last in team OPS last year. They didn't score a lot of runs. I think they had 74 hits below the league average for hits in a season. They were last in doubles, tied for last in triples, last in homers, last in total bases and RBIs. It was a mess. They don't score runs. They brought in a guy to help him score runs to hit by hitting the ball over the fence. He got hurt. Hopefully he comes back fairly soon. But I do have this Louis Okoye. I think, the more I see of him, the more I think he can grow. And I think he's growing by leaps and bounds from the guy I first saw swing it spring to the guy I see making contact with he didn't even know the physics of how a wooden bat worked. Okay, he didn't know where the sweet spot was on a wooden bat because he'd been using the aluminum bat. But the more I see him, the more I like him. I think he can invigorate the team, bring it some energy. I think Nashida is a really big newcomer to the team. I think not having him in that key newcomers list was kind of an omission, but He's certainly going to bring a new approach. He's going to bring more structure. And we've seen what he has done with teams that finished poorly. He's been able to turn them around. That pitching, it actually could be good. I mean, Yudaimori could turn out to, or could straighten himself out. Shiomi had his troubles. He was a Rookie of the Year candidate when he first pitched, so maybe he can get back to some semblance of that. And if they have four good guys, they'd be just as good as the Marines' rotation and pretty close to the Lions' rotation. And so all they need to do is score runs and play defense. And I think they can play defense. So I'm going to pick them to finish fourth in another surprise because, I don't want to pick the same teams over and over. And if somebody goes up, somebody's got to go down. So I'm gonna leave it with the Eagles.
Yeah, I love Okoye too. I hope he gets a chance to play on the top team this year. He's fun to watch.
Definitely fun to watch. All right, so we have the predictions of some of the other respected English-speaking media types who cover MPB. First up is Wayne Grosick. He's got the Hawks, the Fighters, the Lions. So it sounds like pretty much everybody's got those three teams or the Marines in the top four. And then he's got the Marines, Eagles, and Buffaloes. And Patrick Newman, the NPB tracker, has the Hawks, Fighters, Lions, Buffaloes, then the Marines. He's got the Eagles finishing last as well. NPB Reddit has the Hawks, Fighters, Marines. So that's very similar to last year. But then he's got Buffaloes, Eagles, and then Lions. And then our own Michael Westbay, he's got the Hawks, the Buffaloes, the Fighters, the Marines, the Eagles, and he has the Lions finishing last. Wow. Interesting.
The Buffalo. Okay. There's a lot of love for the Buffaloes.
Oh, there's a lot of love for the Buffaloes. A lot, you think? I mean, most people have them finishing down low. I'm the West Bay has them second, though, yeah. Yeah, a lot of love for the Buffaloes, but I think he wants to mix it up, too. I mean, there's always surprises, and it's just like March Madness. It's fun trying to pick the surprises, so we'll see how it works out. But thank you very much, guys, for joining us for the show. We appreciate it. And anyone else who wants to send in their predictions, go ahead and send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com, or you can try to list them up on Twitter at @JBWPodcast. And you can leave us a note on the Facebook page, and that's probably the best way to go because then you can write out a long list with both leagues. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Claudio, have a good day.
Thank you for having me.
And Jason, have a good evening. And Jim, thank you as usual.
Thank you.
Joining us next week will be the MPB tracker, Patrick Newman, along with Michael Westbay, and we'll be doing the Central League prediction show. So thank you very much, guys. Enjoy your preseason.
Live and exclusive from around the globe, America's network for global sports, One World Sports. Win this top soccer competition, including Europe's iconic clubs, Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, and new this season, Juventus. With exclusive highlights, interviews, and analysis. Plus, NASL's greatest soccer franchise and 2015 champion, the New York Cosmos. Watch One World Sports on your TV, tablet, or smartphone. One World Sports, a sports network like no other.